welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program, Mr. and Mrs. America. I, Lou Caraway, and my mate, Elizabeth Cupid Caraway, have been bringing you since 2003. This is a program independent of any corporate help. We finance it ourselves and depend upon all of our great listeners to help when God leads and they are able to send us contributions. We cannot accept checks made out to us. They must be made out to WWCR. Postage stamps, cash, and money orders are greatly appreciated to help keep us on the air. Shortly, we must pay for a month of five, not four, Thursdays. So if any of you are able, without robbing your own family needs, you can send any help to Lou Caraway, that's C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, and the zip is 21609. You note that we have no commercials, unlike the mainstream media and most of the alternative Patriot Radio. If you cannot help us financially, we value your prayers even more. We need your prayers, for without Almighty God, we will never have any true backing or real truth. We witness to our total belief in and reliance on His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man plans, but God oversees. Just now, with the world in increasing lockdown because of the coronavirus, we see how uncertain every man's time of his existence is. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, repent, pray to Him, and He will redeem you. He will redeem your life for all eternity.
Yes, Lou, Jesus Christ has certainly watched over you and me as a couple now for nearly 36 years, faithfully, lovingly, through all the good and the bad that humans have to endure.
That's so right. Now we need to get to the latest vital facts and figures on COVID-19. By the way, you can hear us on WWCR.com, LibertyWorksRadio.net, LWRN.net, and KStarTalkRadio.com. You can also visit our own website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. I'm abbreviating these tonight, for we must get to so much vital information. Elizabeth?
Last program, March 5th. You can hear it in our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Please tell others about it. It included our warnings to prepare quickly by stocking up on things like canned meats, vegetables, fruits, alcohol, laundry, and hand soap, dental floss, saran wrap, foil, garbage bags, water. And most importantly, we shared a listener's article not to use aspirin or any other fever-suppressing medication. In short, the article claimed that suppressing the benefits to the body of the fever could lead to a later proliferation of the disease again, possibly leading to death by pneumonia. And as a backdrop to everything that's going on, we saw that in the Bedford Gazette, the weekend for Saturday, Sunday, March 7th and 8th, we had a headline by the Gazette staff writer Katie Smolin, two virus cases confirmed in PA. Governor Tom Wolf announced today that the coronavirus, COVID-19, has made its way to Pennsylvania. We anticipated this very scenario and have been preparing for Pennsylvanians to become impacted by the virus. And they went on in that article to talk about these two cases. And he said, I authorized the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency director, or his designee, to assume command and control of all statewide emergency operations and authorize and direct that all Commonwealth departments and agencies use all available resources. And apparently, this virus, so far, the article says, has been discovered in two adults, one from Wayne County and one from Delaware County. The individual from Wayne County recently traveled to a country where COVID-19 is present. The individual from Delaware County recently traveled to an area of the United States where COVID-19 is present. Both are currently isolated in their homes. Then we move to Maryland. Of course, this is the state that Lou and I now call home. We had a headline here, Tuesday, March 10th, in the Star Democrat, Governor on Coronavirus, Maryland, preparing for the worst. And in this article, Governor Hogan said that the state's two newest confirmed cases of COVID-19 were identified Sunday, March 8th, in a Harford County woman in her 80s and a Montgomery County man in his 60s. Both of the individuals recently returned from international travels, one from Turkey and one from Thailand and Egypt, and they are being hospitalized and or quarantined in Maryland. Then Hogan also talked about six additional Maryland residents found to have been on the same Egyptian cruise ship, and this was, I think, the case that the ship that was kind of held out at bay for a while. At any rate, these people who were on this same Egyptian cruise ship on different dates, between February 19th and March 4th, two of them are experiencing coronavirus symptoms. So all six of them are under self-quarantine. Then it was interesting, later in the article, it discussed that Governor Hogan said he had just returned from an hour-and-a-half Monday morning meeting inside the White House with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and top-ranking federal officials, where he and 48 other governors, most of whom tuned in via conference call, were briefed on the disease's spread. Quote, "As of this hour, more than 111,000 people in more than 100 countries have been affected by the virus, which started in China. Nearly 3,900 people have died," he said. "Here in America, as of right now, there are 600 cases and 22 deaths across 35 states and Washington, D.C. Hogan said information surrounding the spread of COVID-19 is changing, quote, "not only on a daily basis, but on an hourly, almost minute-to-minute basis." In Maryland, he said, "we are committed to being transparent, providing the facts to try to keep our Maryland citizens fully informed." And it went on to say that Governor Hogan was happy with the way the vice president and the rest of the team were so communicative. Quote, "this is the second time in a week that I've been in the situation room with almost all of my fellow governors across the country and with all the top officials." So that is at least encouraging that the whole governmental apparatus is not just doing nothing. We have to look at the backdrop of all of this before we get into the key business tonight. And one of the things that we have to look about is an article written on March 4th by Mike Adams, and he was quoting Brandon Smith. Brandon Smith's title was "How the Pandemic Crisis Will Probably Develop Over the Next Year." And we here have to present varying views, and we have to pray for discernment for the truth. We don't want to be fanaticists. We never want to be that way, do we, Lou?
No, we want to present the truth.
We've always determined not to be fanatical, but we also have to look at some things that sound radical, because sometimes today's radical view is tomorrow's mainstream news. How the pandemic crisis will probably develop over the next year. Now, part of this we'll read by Brandon Smith. "For a while now, I've been hearing it said that Americans are in a panic over the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S. and that mainstream media outlets are feeding the fear. This is an odd conclusion to come to, and something worth noting, because the truth is mostly the opposite. For the past couple of months, the WHO, the CDC, and even Donald Trump have been dismissing COVID-19 as nothing much to worry about. The WHO actually still refuses to call it a pandemic. And now, I have to interject that it just happened. It happened, I believe, today, didn't it?"
Yes, it did.
Okay. And that date, when we're taping the program, is March 11th. Brandon says, "until recently, the mainstream media was also pumping out article after article on why COVID-19 is, quote, no more dangerous than the flu, with the official death rate at 2.3 to 3% changing by the week. And I believe we have some statistics now today, listeners, that show 6%. He says the virus already has higher mortality than the average flu. "If we take into account the fact that multiple medical professionals within China have revealed, despite threats of punishment, that the Chinese government is hiding the true and much higher death and infection statistics, then the official data goes out the window. We can't even trust the infection numbers from the CDC in the U.S. because they've been refusing to test most people unless they have recently traveled to China." Only in the past week have the media and certain government representatives suddenly decided to take the pandemic issue seriously. Why wait until there are large community outbreaks in South Korea, Iran, and Italy before instituting some travel guidelines? Why are flights still moving back and forth from these places to the U.S.? Why is Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, telling the country that the pandemic, quote, is contained and there's no threat to the economy? Why is the Surgeon General of the U.S. telling people to stop buying N95 masks because they will not work for you? They only work for medical and CDC professionals. This is warp fuzzy logic, and it's bizarre. I believe this behavior is quite deliberate, and that for the past 2 months there has been a conspiracy to downplay the danger and keep as many people as possible passive and unprepared. Governments and the media have changed their tune in the past week because the threat can no longer be hidden. The outbreak is here, as we have seen in Washington State, where 9 people have died already. Multiple community outbreaks in the U.S. Get ready for Washington State to become a large community infection event involving thousands of people. The virus's incubation period of up to 24 days while a person is still contagious makes isolation and quarantine impossible. What is happening in Washington State will happen in other states. Going by the speed of the outbreaks in Italy and South Korea, it is likely that 2 weeks from now, the American public will finally realize how bad the situation actually is. And remember, this was March the 4th. This is about 1 week ago. And you see, we are beginning to realize this everywhere. Brandon Smith says the government at this stage will demand voluntary quarantine of individuals who think they might have the virus. And Lou, we've seen that now with 2 congressmen, haven't we?
Yes. In fact, I think, if I heard correctly, it's more than 2 now. It might be as many as 6.
Ted Cruz and was it Louie Gohmert? Was that the other one?
Yes, and the gentleman who was newly appointed to a post, I think Mr. Meadows.
Oh, Mark Meadows.
Yes, I believe
he
is also among those, and several others, I think.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
He'll be the new chief of staff, won't
he? That's right, yes.
When Mick Mulvaney left. Testing will finally increase, though hospitals will have to test each person 2 to 3 times to get accurate results. Now, he goes on to say that authorities will claim that this was done for the greater good, you see, to be so apathetic the way they've been to this point. And then he says within the next 2 months we'll probably see checkpoints going up on main roads and highways testing for fever and symptoms. And if you live in a high population area, it may be time to get out. You know, that was time last week. And he says in the span of perhaps 3 months, the majority of airline flights out of the U.S. will stop. And he says there'll be all these vaccine promises, but we don't want to think about that because he claims that the last time they tried to develop a vaccine for SARS, it caused an immunopathologic lung reaction in test animals, meaning a negative reaction that can cause death. They also found the vaccine caused liver damage through hepatitis. And Brandon Smith says, I would not trust any vaccine or drug cocktail coming from the CDC and FEMA, especially if it is fast-tracked into existence. Now, some of the next possibilities he has election disruption. And here, I will have to say that I personally do not agree with much of his scenario. When we look at whether he's going to say that Trump is a puppet of the Rothschilds and the global faction, that's what he's going to say. But I have to look at, first of all, the extreme vitriolic hatred shown to President Trump from the moment he got into office. And it culminated in the crazy impeachment circus. When we look at that, that's a concerted effort to remove President Trump. That's not the way you would treat a puppet. And we can also look at the nationalism focus that Trump actually did some things. He took us out of the TPP, took us out of the Paris Climate Accords, many wonderful things, the death of Soleimani, the death of al-Baghdadi, the end of ISIS. All of these things benefit our country, and we know that they're in these perhaps successful final stage talks to get us out, all of our military, out of Afghanistan. However, We also know that both political parties have been controlled for a long time, and there may be an influence on President Trump. We certainly hope and pray there isn't. So when you hear this, if it seems a little fanatical, there may be some elements of truth to it. Brandon says, Donald Trump's behavior surrounding this event might seem strange to many people as he continues to dismiss virus concerns. And I would add in there when he said, hey, did you get your flu shot? I wasn't pleased with that at all at that news conference with the woman from CDC that he extolled. But anyway, he says, shows more interest in the stock market than the health crisis and talks about a vaccine that will not be coming anytime soon. Now, I'm glad that Donald Trump is interested in the stock market. He has quite a juggling act. He has to try to think how soon he must close down things so that the entire economy does not crash. He has to look at various things there. He has to be prudent, but he can't be foolish and let these domestic flights continue much longer. Brandon Smith says, as I have noted in numerous articles, Trump is a puppet of the globalists and has been for decades. His relationship with the Rothschild banking family goes back to the 1990s when he was bailed out of his debts in numerous properties in Atlantic City. Rothschild banker Wilbur Ross arranged the deal, and now Ross is Trump's commerce secretary. The number of CFR members and elites within Trump's cabinet indicate he is at the very least an unwilling participant, if not completely complicit in the agenda. And again, you have heard my disclaimers, and I can say that I believe that President Eisenhower, who warned of the military-industrial complex, maybe that was his farewell speech to the nation, I believe that he was a member of the CFR. You see, you can't get anywhere in politics. You can't go up high unless you, to a certain degree, join, at least on the surface. And Trump is smart enough to know that. And it's possible that these connections did aid him before. But we remember what Melania said one time on television. He does what he wants, or he does what he's going to do. That is who he is. He is a maverick. He is not controlled by the Rothschilds. He's not controlled by the Federal Reserve. He knows he has to deal with them. And perhaps Wilbur Ross has some good connections that might ultimately benefit all of us. Nothing is black or white entirely in this life. We know that. So when Brandon Smith says Trump's role is to become a Pied Piper for conservatives, and as he leads the U.S. into disaster, his job is to act as a bumbling villain, I don't believe that for 1 minute. And so, you see, we can't believe that fully. But we can believe that he has been duped and he has been given bad advice. And we hope and pray he isn't now sold out. It would be a reversal of everything he stood for before. So we hope and pray that's not the case. What I've said to Lou many times, this scenario of poor bumbling Biden, and it's very pathetic. And, you know, we agreed that people who are surrounding him in politics, the fact that they would use him in this manner shows that they have no humanity. They have no genuine goodness, no respect for their friend they've known all of these decades. To let him run in the condition he apparently is, it really shows us a lot about the difference between true Christian people with true Christian hearts and people who will just use someone. They will get the most out of him, like in Animal Farm, poor old Boxer, the faithful horse. That is how I see Joe Biden. He ended up in the glue factory. That's where he ended up. But, you know, it rhymes with Hillary, Lou, what I think is coming. I think the brokered convention is coming, and you know what rhymes with Hillary, don't you?
Oh, yes, Hillary.
Yes. So now we could go on and on with Brandon Smith, and he thinks that an economic crash is built into all of this, and maybe things like agencies like FEMA and the CDC will attempt to herd the public into treatment centers and camps, worst-hit areas. We hope and pray that nothing like that is going to happen, and we do pray. We do pray for our country. We pray for President Trump. We need action. He needs to break his apathy, and he needs to step out as the leader we elected. But now we're going to begin tonight with another question. And this, again, comes from naturalnews.com, February 20th. Would we still have power and water if we had a massive coronavirus quarantine in the U.S.? How long do you think a pandemic quarantine could go on with power, running water, the internet, and trash pickup continuing to run as normal? This article was by Selko Begovic and Daisy Luther, republished from the organicprepper.com. If COVID-19 were to spread where you live, as it has in China, it's possible that extreme measures could be taken, possibly even a China-style lockdown where people are told to stay in their homes and where businesses are closed. I'm referring to something much more extreme than just a handful of us self-isolating. While I certainly hope such a situation is unlikely, it's something we should all consider a possibility and get prepared for just in case, considering whether or not this would be an off-grid scenario would play an extremely important part in your preparations. Selko and I had a very interesting chat about this after I'd raised the point in a group discussion. I thought you might be interested in our thoughts. Of course, there's no way to know exactly how it might go down, so it's pure speculation on our part on the research of similar situations, knowledge of our systems, and personal experiences. Daisy's thoughts. First things first, electrical power, natural gas, water, and the internet could run a long time automatically or with just a bit of input from someone on a computer. A pandemic isn't going to fry our circuitry like an EMP would, for example. There's nothing general, infrastructure-wise, that would immediately compromise these utilities. But this assumes that everything besides the pandemic is smooth sailing, that we won't have any tornadoes, any hurricanes, any blizzards, any earthquakes, unfortunate bolts of lightning, or accidents. And it also omits man-made problems like riots that damage the infrastructure or even deliberate sabotage. In a full-on pandemic, there's likely going to be nobody to go out there and repair potential damage. And it's possible that even if people were willing, they might not have access to the necessary supplies or equipment if these are items that they get on a just-in-time basis. As for water, it could run for a long time, but it might not be safe to drink. We'd need to be alert that there's nobody there testing the tap water and adding chemicals. I don't love chemicals like fluoride in my water, but I do love essential chemicals better than I like amoebic dysentery and shigellosis and cholera. Then the heading is the government would want utilities to remain functional. Also, the government is going to want people to have utilities in the event of any kind of quarantine. People who can zone out in front of the television or play video games are going to be a lot tamer and easier to manage than people who are detoxing from their cell phones and Facebook and 24/7 television. If there's a way to keep the lights on, I feel fairly confident the government would prefer that. Karl Marx once said, "Religion was the opiate of the masses. These days, I think television and Netflix wear that crown." Garbage pickup. Garbage pickup is another matter and very worrisome. If we're confined to our homes, who's going to pick up the trash? Will it come to this? This is not a question that anyone could definitively answer. It's just like the utilities. Would we have utilities and services during a quarantine scenario? And this was Selko's thoughts. Utilities. Power, running water, communications, internet, cell phones, and similar utilities up to waste management in all modern societies are brought to an advanced level of functioning. And so he goes on and he just says it works good until it does not. And maintenance and people. So these are kind of speculations about what would happen. And we don't really know fully. But I think we'll move on now.
All right. And on February 26th, let's check back and see how prescient, right on the money, Tucker Carlson's news release was. America is not ready for a coronavirus outbreak or any major epidemic. The city of San Francisco has just declared a state of emergency in response to coronavirus. And yet, you'll remember that for a month, Western leaders told us that the virus was under control and was unlikely to cause serious problems for anyone in our hemisphere. None of that was true. But saying it was less painful than rethinking the failed theology of globalism, so they went with it. Meanwhile, in China, an aggressively nationalist country that, if nothing else, definitely doesn't hate itself, authorities acted immediately and with force. With military-grade discipline, they shut down the city of Wuhan, home to 11 million people. The rest of the world watched this happen in real time, but yet assured themselves that everything was fine. And it wasn't fine. We know that now. In this country, there are more than 50 confirmed cases, because that's gone up since then. On Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control confirmed that a generalized outbreak is inevitable here. Officials said, quote, it's not a question of if this will happen, but when. Officials warned Americans to be ready for severe disruption to their lives. Dr. Nancy Messonnier, the CDC's director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases.
And we point out again, she's Rod Rosenstein's sister, and she helps run that secret vaccine court in which poor parents try to get some damages for what has happened to their children from the vaccine injuries.
Yes, that's right. Well, Nancy in late February said these scenarios might lie in the future. Using internet-based teleschooling to continue education. For adults, businesses can replace in-person meetings with video or telephone conferences and increase teleworking options. On a larger scale, communities and cities may need to modify, postpone, or cancel mass gatherings. Disruption to everyday life may be severe, but these are things that people need to start thinking about now. People are concerned about the situation. I would rightfully say so. I'm concerned about the situation. CDC is concerned about the situation. So that's exactly, what exactly will a coronavirus pandemic mean for this country? Well, of course, you can't really say. It's impossible to predict with precision. And I will interject here. We have to note the CDC's apathy to providing COVID-19 testing, its sinister directives to the state governments not to test. Is this the best tyranny that letting corona happen can provide? Now, only a little over a week later, the official warnings of, quote, severe disruptions to Americans' lives came true. So that was from Tucker Carlson. Now, moving on, we have...
Now, you're going to have it begin to materialize, I think, aren't you?
Yes.
A place called New Rochelle, New York.
That's right. And we have this from Newsday, by Michael Gormley and a couple of other authors. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo said Tuesday the state will send the National Guard. I should mention this is dated March 10th. The state will send the National Guard to New Rochelle as part of a containment, that's in quotes, containment plan to slow the spread of coronavirus in that Westchester County city, which has become the center of the state's outbreak. The number of confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York has increased to 173. Cuomo said. More than 100 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Westchester County. Beginning March 12th, schools and facilities in the area will be closed for 2 weeks. The National Guard will help deliver food and clean public spaces. Cuomo said at a news briefing in Albany, quote, New Rochelle is a particular problem. It's a cluster. The numbers are going up. The numbers continue to go up. We do need a special public health strategy for New Rochelle, unquote. Nassau County added two more cases, bringing its total to 19. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran said at a separate Tuesday morning news briefing as the state was considering new measures to contain the virus spread. She said two of the new positive cases were school bus drivers. Officials have been in contact with the 80 children that were in contact that they were in contact with in their routes. Curran said there are currently 72 people on mandatory quarantine, another 74 under precautionary quarantine in the county. Test results on an additional 10 people are pending. Additionally, the County Office of Consumer Affairs has taken action against several retailers since announcing a crackdown on coronavirus-related price gouging. All the cases involved improperly charging for protective masks. Cuomo had said earlier that New York is considering canceling the traditional St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City after Boston did so as part of continued precautions against spread of the coronavirus. That's one thing. One of the things we're looking at, Cuomo told CNN. He also said New York has about 25 more cases of the virus since Monday, when the state led the nation with 142 cases. Many nursing homes and assisted living facilities, home to some of the most vulnerable residents, are already closed to visitors. Cuomo told WAMC Public Radio in Albany on Tuesday, quote, "It's always the vulnerable population. All you need is 1 8-year-old Johnny to go into a nursing home and see his grandma and hug and kiss grandma, and you are off to the races," unquote. The state may order some or all nursing homes to limit or suspend visitation in the future as the outbreak continues. "It's a frightening thing out there," Cuomo told WAMC. Then he blamed the media for panic in the public. "This whole response is disproportionate," Cuomo said. "It's a function of our news media and a federal government that says one thing one day and another on another day," unquote. Later in the interview, Cuomo, however, said, "I don't want to get into a fight with the federal government now. We all have to work together." On Monday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said there were no plans to cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade, which has been held every year since 1762. The parade is scheduled for March 17th. A phone message left Tuesday morning with the parade organizer was not immediately returned, but within an hour of Cuomo's interview, the official parade website was updated with a, quote, COVID-19 virus note, unquote.
And Lou, do you not also have some info that gets into actually what's happening in New Rochelle?
I believe that I do, yes.
Let's get right into the heart of the matter and see what the people there are actually experiencing. And, you know, today, now again, I'm speaking on Wednesday the 11th, I heard Stuart Rhodes, the head of Oath Keepers, and he had a very interesting talk going on there on InfoWars with Mike Adams and another person. And he was pointing out to us that real, true martial law is something more draconian than actually just using the National Guard to set up field hospitals and to help people triage and things like that. So that we must be aware that we don't confuse something that is constitutional with something that's much more draconian. Having said that, he pointed out that all of us lost many liberties after 9/11, the Patriot Act and all of the things that was used. And he thinks this may be a similar type thing that can be subverted. So we do have to be careful as we watch it. But let's hear what is really going on there. This, you and I did not like the term, and Stuart Rhodes said it was an unfortunate term. What is it, Luke? Containment zone or something like that?
Confinement zone.
Oh, confinement.
Yes.
Oh, it is worse. Oh, it's much worse than containment, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Gosh.
All right, from naturalnews.com, dated March 10th, 2020, by Ethan Huff. The headline reads, "Lockdown. Cuomo shuts down New Rochelle in New York, sets up 1 mile containment zone to be patrolled by the National Guard."
But confinement to 1 mile.
Yep, that's right. Just as predicted, medical martial law has finally arrived in the United States with the first government-imposed mass quarantine area for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, reportedly being set up in New Rochelle, New York, located to the north of Manhattan. New York Governor Andrew Infanticide Cuomo declared New Rochelle to be, quote, "the most significant cluster," that is of the novel coronavirus, "in the country," unquote, after a surge of new cases was recently identified there. Consequently, he decided to deploy National Guard troops to a health department command post.
And Lou, playing devil's advocate with Stuart Rhodes, we might ask, how did so many people get it so fast in one little area?
That is a mystery.
Was a bizarre, ridiculous theory that some Democrats were going around the country spreading it, but that is really absurd because you'd have to be so sick yourself. You'd have to take a chance. They're not that crazy. They really aren't. But something might have been spread in some way that's a little unorthodox. Something might be more nefarious than we're told. It's not all possibly coming from cruise ships, is it?
It sure doesn't seem that
know.
Way, no.
Continue.
This containment area will have a satellite testing facility for identifying new cases of the disease, and National Guard troops will also be tasked with keeping all surfaces in the area clean. as well as delivering food to local residents who would be presumably forced to stay inside their homes. The states of New York and nearby New Jersey have both declared states of emergency in response to the Wuhan coronavirus, with Westchester County alone confirming 108 known cases of the disease, or 57% of all known tri-state cases. New Jersey also reported its first death from the Wuhan coronavirus in a 69-year-old man living in Bergen County. He is said to have suffered from pre-existing health conditions that included emphysema, hypertension, and diabetes, and had no known recent travel to high-risk countries like Communist China, said New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver in a statement, quote, "Our prayers are with the family during this difficult time. We remain vigilant to doing all we can across all levels of government to protect the people of New Jersey," unquote. Listen below to one of last week's episodes of the Health Ranger Report, in which Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, warned that medical martial law would soon be coming to the U.S. I don't know if we want to read all that now.
We might not. We've pretty well alluded to this.
Yes, I think
so. What could happen?
So perhaps we'll move on now. I think, Elizabeth, you have something about D.C.'s first patient.
Yes, Lou, I do. Again, this is naturalnews.com. March 10th, coronavirus spreads on the East Coast. D.C.'s first patient is a minister. New York City firefighters banned from responding to COVID-19 cases. While last week's focus has been mainly on the spread of the coronavirus on the West Coast, especially in Washington State, where it first hit the country, disturbing news over the weekend revealed that it has already made its way to cities on the East Coast. Washington, D.C. has reported its first case of the virus. Meanwhile, a few hundred miles north, New York City has enacted a drastic measure to stop the spread of the disease among emergency workers. Minister becomes D.C.'s first coronavirus case, hundreds at risk. Reverend Timothy Cole of Christ Church, an Episcopal church in Washington, D.C.'s Georgetown neighborhood, was diagnosed with COVID-19 Saturday evening. The Reverend is currently in stable condition, according to his assistant, Reverend Crystal Hardin. "I can now confirm that I am the individual who tested positive for the coronavirus," said Cole in an email to CBS News. "First, I want to assure you that I will be okay. I am receiving excellent care and am in good spirits under the circumstances. I will remain quarantined for the next 14 days, as will the rest of my family." Cole represents the first reported case of COVID-19 in the Capitol. However, his position as a minister may have put hundreds of visitors to the Episcopal Church at risk, as Cole served communion and shook hands with attendees during services. In response to this, Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser suggested that any recent visitors to Christ Church should self-quarantine themselves. "We know that whether we meet here in person on a Sunday morning or whether we meet in spirit, not one of us is alone because we have each other. We firmly believe that we are held in God's embrace through it all," said Bowser. "We are praying for all those affected, all those who are in fear, and all of the medical professionals and researchers and community members who are trying to find solutions. In the meantime, all services have been canceled at the church starting Sunday, the first time since the 1800s after being raised in a fire." Next headline, NYC firefighters banned from responding to cases where coronavirus is involved. As Washington, D.C. comes to grips with the possibility of a coronavirus outbreak in the city, New York City is now enacting a controversial measure to prevent the virus from spreading among its emergency workers. The New York City Fire Department, FDNY, issued an order that temporarily relieves all firefighters from responding to calls of the second highest priority for patients with cough, fever, difficulty breathing, or who may even be unconscious. Cough, fever, and difficulty with breathing are the most common symptoms of COVID-19. So we can go on there, you see, and we know that, according to the article, the EMTs and paramedics who will end up shouldering most of the burden think that this order will simply strain the system. So you see, there are decisions that are going to have to be made. And we said again that on March 11th, the WHO declared the coronavirus the global pandemic. And in that article, and again, this came from Fox News, confirmed cases by country and region. I thought this was interesting, listeners. The confirmed case number in China, 80,969. Of course, we think it could be much higher. 10,149 in Italy, 9,000 Iran, 7,755 Korea, 2,174 Spain, 1,784 France, 1,629 Germany, 1,050 U.S., 696 others, 613 Switzerland, 581 Japan, 503 Netherlands, 477 Sweden, 440 Norway. And this was on March 11th at 10:33 a.m. So that gives us a pretty much up-to-date time the time is pretty much up to date when we see these statistics. And WHO head Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, and you know how controversial we've said he is, but he made the statement that inaction could cause health systems to become overwhelmed. It is not the time for countries to move toward mitigation only. And this was Dr. Mike Ryan. Excuse me. This was not Tedros said. Tedros said, all countries can still change the course of this pandemic if countries detect, test, treat, isolate, trace, and mobilize their people in the response. Dr. Mike Ryan, who's executive director of emergency operations, said that it's not the time to move toward mitigation only. If you do not try to suppress this virus, it can overwhelm your health system. Lou?
And now we have, from Fox News, by Alexandria Hine, March 10th, coronavirus in the U.S. state-by-state breakdown. As of Tuesday morning, March 10th, the novel coronavirus has infected at least 113,672 people across 103 countries, resulting in over 4,000 deaths. In the U.S., at least 36 states, plus the District of Columbia, have reported confirmed cases of COVID-19, tallying almost 650 illnesses, and I believe that's now over 1,000 a day later, and at least 26 deaths. Here's a look at the states impacted by COVID-19. Washington State, 162 cases. New York State, 142. California, 133. Massachusetts, 41. Oregon, 14. Florida, 13. Texas, 12. We have 11 in each of Georgia, New Jersey, Colorado and Illinois, 10 in Pennsylvania, 8 in Iowa, 7 each in North and South Carolina. In Arizona, we have 5 cases. Also in Maryland and Virginia, 5. Indiana, New Hampshire, and Tennessee, 4 each. Nebraska, Rhode Island, and Ohio, 3 cases each. Minnesota, Connecticut, Hawaii, and Wisconsin, 2 apiece. And then we have 1 each in Wisconsin, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Nevada, Oklahoma, Utah, Vermont, and the District of Columbia. Now, that was as of yesterday, as we go to to record the program, Tuesday, March the 10th.
Now, isn't that interesting? Just the weekend before, the article I quoted from the Bedford, Pennsylvania Gazette, in which Governor Wolf said there were just 2 people. Isn't that interesting? Now,
yes,
your figure shows 10.
Is.
10. So whether it's a cover-up and or just a thing raging, getting out of control quickly, maybe all of it is true. We're not sure. Do you have a little bit more on that, Lou?
That's the end of that, but I also have one by one of the actual patients.
Okay, let's get a little bit of that.
This, too, was from Fox News by Talia Kaplan, March 10th, 2020. Coronavirus patient recovering in quarantine facility says he had fever spike and, quote, lingering dry cough, unquote. Coronavirus patient Carl Goldman, one of 11 American evacuees from the quarantine Diamond Princess cruise ship who tested positive for the virus, told Fox and Friends First that he experienced a fever spike and had a lingering dry cough. Speaking via Skype on Tuesday from the quarantine unit at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, Goldman, age 67, said he was transferred there from a biocontainment facility. He said, quote, I had a precondition called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and I think that's why they put me in the biocontainment, to make sure that I was stable and that the virus did not go into my lungs and chest, which seems to be the killer in this, he added, adding that the overwhelming majority of people who contact the novel coronavirus, quote, are ending up with fairly mild cases, just like I am, unquote. He continued, quote, other than the spike in fever and I had a lingering dry cough, I was fine. It was not like a regular cold, so there was no sore throat, no stuffy nose, no sneezing, no body aches with a high temperature. And other than that cough, I would have been fine after about 10 hours after my fever broke, unquote. Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS, is a rare sickness of the nervous system in which a person's own immune system damages the nerve cells, causing muscle weakness, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this is a little interjecting. You recall Elizabeth and I told you about a school janitor we worked with who got this very syndrome after getting a flu shot. He was permanently left with a helpless arm. Getting on with the article, Goldman.
And you know what? I think now that gives a good little vignette
of someone
who really is sick. And now we'll move right on to across the pond to Italy. Coronavirus, Italy extends emergency measures nationwide. This was March 10th. Italy has extended its emergency coronavirus measures, which include travel restrictions and a ban on public gatherings, to the entire country. On Monday, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte ordered people to stay home and seek permission for essential travel. And we have to interject here, is this our future when we look at Italy? So pay attention, listeners. He said the measures were designed to protect the most vulnerable. There is no more time, he said in a TV address. And I have to interject here again that thankfully there is enough Christian influence. There are enough Christian doctors and people in power in America that it's different from us looking at those horrible videos of the people in China in those barracks and the woman jumping out probably to her death, we think. All of that and the cremation vans rolling in. You see, that gentleman who had the Guillain-Barré complication received some humane care. Let's pray that we can keep the old America. We really want to with all our hearts. Back to Italy. Italy's coronavirus death toll jumped from 366 to 463 on Monday. It is the worst hit country after China. The number of confirmed infections also increased by 24% from Sunday. Official figures showed cases of the virus have been confirmed in all 20 Italian regions. Mr. Conte said the best thing was for people to stay at home. We're having an important growth in infection and of deaths, he said in an evening address. The whole of Italy will become a protected zone, he added. What are the restrictions? Mr. Conte described the measures as, I stay home. With people forbidden to gather in public, no more nightlife. We can't allow this anymore since they are occasions for contagion. All sporting events, including football matches, are suspended nationwide. And Lou, what have you heard about? Haven't you heard something about the Summer Olympics?
Yes, the Summer Olympics may very well be postponed. Nothing official has been decided as of this moment. But many people have said you just can't have this going on with all these athletes.
And yeah, didn't you hear something more about some athletics? And
yes, many athletic things have already decided to have
like
the games with no audience. That is no, well, what's the word? No fans in the stands.
Yeah, who was that? LeBron James, you mention?
Yes, LeBron James made a little wisecrack the other day and said, I won't play if there aren't any fans. I play to, you know, to entertain them. But then he thought better of it, and today they had on the news that he said, well, yeah, if it's necessary, we'll just have to play without the fans if it's for the health reasons.
Interesting. Well, back to my article, schools and universities in Italy will remain closed until April 3rd. Coronavirus symptoms take 5 days to show. The government said only those with a valid work or family reason that cannot be postponed will be allowed to travel. Passengers departing on flights will have to justify themselves, as will all those who arrive by plane. And then they talked about people reacting to this, that there were 7 inmates who died amid riots at prisons across the country after authorities suspended all visits as part of attempts to control the spread of the disease. And it is thought that at least two of the dead lost their lives to drug overdoses after they raided a prison hospital for the heroin substitute methadone. At San Vittore prison in Milan, detainees set fire to a cell block, then climbed onto the roof through windows and started waving banners. So there were some other riots going on. But that gives you a little idea. Let me see if there is a little bit more to this. Yes, now moving to Israel. This is very interesting that everybody arriving in Israel will be required to self-quarantine for 14 days, Prime Minister Netanyahu announced. That's very sane and sensible, don't you think, Lou?
Yes, I think that's a sensible...
I mean, it is. This is closed borders. This is smart.
Yeah.
Iran has reported 43 new deaths related to the disease in the past 24 hours. And again, this was March 10th. At least 237 people have died, and 7,161 have been infected across the country. And that's Iran again. Since mid-February, although the real figures are believed to be far higher... China, which has recorded the highest number of fatalities, reported just 40 new cases of COVID-19. So this gives you a little thing there of an overview, and let's move right on. I think now you have tsunami.
I do, and this is from the German newspaper, Tagesspiegel, dated March the 10th. The title of the article, Tsunami That Overwhelmed Us, the Desperate Report of an Italian Doctor. Daniel Mancini works in a hospital in Bergamo in northern Italy. He sends a warning to his compatriots, do not underestimate the virus. And we have a picture there. It shows a doctor or nurse in outside of this huge hospital with a tent in the background, and she's got a big mask on and also a covering over her head. And it's, the caption says, in hospitals in Lombardy, here in Cremona, there was a coronavirus alarm. On Friday, Danielle Mancini had enough. The resident in the coronavirus risk region of Lombardy, in which the city of Milan is located, did not want to remain silent. His reality is a Humanitatis Gavazzini hospital in Bergamo, and it was too different from that of many people outside in quotes, he found. He means those who complain about restrictions in their everyday life on social media or ignore the advice to leave the house only in an emergency. Mancini, actually a general surgeon, wrote a detailed entry on his Facebook page about how he experienced the pandemic in the hospital. The post has been shared almost 30,000 times by Tuesday noon. Mancini writes, quote, the war has literally exploded and the battles are ongoing day and night.
And I think now we must move on for the sake of time. There's a headline from Fox News. Maria Bartiromo warns of hundreds of thousands of coronavirus cases in the U.S. over the next 6 to 12 months. That was March 5th. And that was kind of a bellwether, I think, when host Bill Hemmer asked Bartiromo over what time period her sources expected to see those kind of numbers. She answered, next 6 months to a year, we're going to see hundreds of thousands of cases. And then we move on to another headline. Coronavirus, Australian newspaper prints extra pages to help out in toilet paper shortage. This was from the London Guardian. Isn't that interesting? You know, we forget how much our everyday lives play a role. The news is not just news for the media. We have to live in our homes, and do we have enough toilet paper? That's something important. So this is one newspaper that has gone one step further by printing extra pages in its editions to help out those who have been caught short.
Then we have EU pours millions into Greece to act as border shield.
Yes, and we have to shorten this because we have some very important statistical information that you have nearer the end.
Yes, we do.
So that the upshot of this is the EU is closing the borders more. It's going against their old policy because maybe they don't want to all die of the coronavirus. It's a very interesting thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes.
And I don't know, do you see any other salient point there that you'd like to bring out in that?
I don't think so at this present time.
Okay, and then we go on to a headline from Fox News, March 10th, Julia Musto. More extreme measures needed as coronavirus spread, says disaster preparedness expert. And this expert was Sandra Smith Redlener, a professor at Columbia. She painted this stark picture of America's future unless we have these massive shutdowns and so forth. Again, we have to take this with a grain of salt because Columbia is that New World Order thing, and maybe they want to promote the real type of martial law. We're not sure. But Redlener compared the U.S. to Italy, that the U.S. could potentially see a rapid increase in the transmission of coronavirus, which starts happening at certain tipping points. And that is the case. The thing, if Trump doesn't do something soon, I believe that his presidency will be finished. So we move on now to... I think you have leaked medical conference documents. Let's get into just a little bit of that. You know, we're almost out of time.
That's
maybe
true.
We have to rush now. I think we have to get to your last pandemic projection model because we all want to know how fast this is happening. And give us those statistics. Talk about it, Lou.
Well, Mike Adams has a very carefully laid out mathematical model. He says pandemic projection, and this, by the way, was on March the 5th, so it's several days old now, but still, from what I can see, pretty accurate. I'm a mathematician.
And then you have an update, too, from
today.
I do,
yes.
Maybe you can gloss over both of those.
I will.
All right.
But his projection model shows 2.16 million deaths in the USA. You heard me right. 2.16 million deaths in the USA by July 4th, if nothing is done to halt nearly all domestic travel. Now, Mike does make the caveat that this is assuming no intervention, and hopefully there will be a lot of intervention, but this is based upon a simple exponential model in which he's estimated how it spreads, how many are going to affect other people, and it's just a simple matter that it's going to have a multiplying effect. I won't go into all the
mathematical
details.
And as a mathematician, does it look accurate to you?
It looks accurate so far. Now, we don't have enough data yet, but I would say by this time next week, we might have enough to say just how accurate that might really be.
And we'll probably get into that. We'll refer back to this next week also.
And Mike has another article, Tuesday, March 10th. The headline says, U.S. coronavirus infections just surpassed 1,000 as global death rates reach 6%. That's 60 times higher than the seasonal flu. So I think that headline sums it up very well.
That's astounding, isn't it?
It certainly is.
So we pray for all of you listeners, and please keep us in your prayers for our safety, our health, our financial ability to stay on air, to warn all of you. And please pray for President Trump and action to occur. Thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.